Hello guys, and welcome to day two at Wimbledon. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah, this is day two after Lucy told me to fix up and do a better intro.
Not a better intro, just like, you know, more energy, because I am extremely, it's like my...
We've swapped positions.
Yeah, my energy just went down as soon as like the last match was done. I was just like, I can't do this right now, but I'm here. I look, I'm drinking my coffee.
Survived. I can. I feel. What's that smell? The strong smell of like. Yeah,
it's a strong smell. Shout out to all the coffee gangs out there. I'm a coffee man. I think this is my third cup of coffee
Bloody
today.
Hell. Fair play, Lucy. But how are you though? Like, it's been a long day, like you said.
Extreme. Do you know what? I think it's because it was unexpected. The day started extremely slow. It was cold.
Oh man.
It was rainy.
Man.
I'm not the best at wearing jackets.
Day three, we're bringing jackets. We know that.
Yeah. I mean, this is the issue. It ruins my outfit. But anyways, in more serious notes, when it started picking up, it was picking up. Like Tumani, shout out to Tumani. He was even saying, I was seeing you like running up and down. I'm like, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a lot. Watching matches, going to the thingy.
Presses. And the again, presses. I don't know how many, you did like, four press conferences.
I did four.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's get into it. Like, mm-hmm. I think we should just go in order of like matches that finished. So not necessarily
today's
wins.
Matches. Yeah. I think I prefer that order.
Yeah. So we're going to start off with a loss, unfortunately, but a good performance from the Brit Paul Jubb.
For sure.
Who went down in five sets. I'm going to say agonizing, because he had a match point in that match against Thiago Szabolcs-Bilcs. And yeah, I was watching mostly from the balcony. So luckily where court 14 is, you've got a pretty good view from that balcony.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a really good match. Like Jubb made a fast start. He was two sets to love up. And then the rain came in the third set. I think it was like 5-3. No, sorry. The rain came in the second set, at 5-3, I think it was. First he love. And then they paused for a while. I don't know how long the rain delay was, but play
it,
was...
Yeah, it kept... The thing, it paused a lot of time.
Yeah, I think overall in their match, it paused. There were three rain delays. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that after that first one, Jubb came back and served out the second set.
Yeah.
And I was like, great, momentum. Like, he's going to carry on, do this in straights.
Mm.
Didn't pan out that way, unfortunately. But he played so well, like, and he was searching for his first Grand Slam win or main draw win at any Grand Slam. And yeah, he wasn't able to get over the line, unfortunately. He had a match point, like I said, in that third set. But I guess we should give credit to Vilch or Szabolcs-Bilcs.
Mm-hmm.
For grinding from two sets to love down.
For sure.
In a similar fashion to our guy Francis Tiafoe on day one. And I did speak to Jubb after, well, I went to Jubb's press conference afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he was like pretty downbeat, but you know how we do it over here. Like, it's about positivity and, you know, looking at the positives and keeping things in perspective even. And I was able to do that by asking him about his run in Mallorca last week. And yeah, he gave a really nice kind of answer in terms of like where his level's at, which we'll play for you here.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to get rewarded for the hard work you put in. So I think that was, you know, just the main thing. I think, you know, the people who are with me daily training and I myself know what level I'm capable of and what I produce day in, day out. And yeah, so it's there. And then to actually do it, get rewarded for it was great. And as you said, a huge positive for me and a big confidence boost. So hopefully just keep trending in that direction and more good things will hopefully come.
So yeah, that was Jubb speaking about like, yeah, where his level is. He basically said, yeah, he's been beating top 100 guys, like, which he has. The results show that. And he feels like that is where, you know, he belongs. Currently just outside the top 200. But I think, yeah, he'll be back inside the top 200 like very, very soon. And just keeps trending in the right direction.
Mm.
I don't know if you have anything to add on Jubb.
No, because to be fair, I will say I do find it extremely impressive with the way that he leveled up, mainly because I watched his first qualifying match at Queens, and the level from there to now is actually incredible. He wasn't playing anywhere near as good as he played. I think he even lost that the first set. I think it was, the second set was that, it was even the 6-1. I can't remember what the first set was. But
this is at Queens.
At Queens, yeah. And then, of course, his run in Mallorca. And then here, although he did not... If the rain delay was not about, he would have won that match.
Yeah, and he kind of... Well, he didn't say that, and that wasn't an excuse. And he did tweet, or I tweeted something along the lines of, like, I doubt he's going to be using that as an excuse. Which he wasn't.
I mean, you can't really say out loud just to avoid... get what I mean? But
of course, watching the match...
If anyone's watched that match, you know for sure 100%. If the rain delay was not there, especially that last one.
Yeah.
If it was not... If that last rain delay did not happen,
and
then...
the fact that there were three, like, separate delays, like, that's tough.
Because it makes a difference. I mean, just now, funny enough, I showed Eugene a tweet that said that Dan Evans... did like a little cheer when
he was happy for that
when
rain.
He found out that there was
not rain, the bad light.
Yeah, bad light that his match had been suspended. So, you know, some players they can take advantage of that. So but either way, shout out to Paul Jubb. You know, he had a very, very tough previous year with the injury.
Exactly, true.
His grandmother passed away, which he said was really close to. He was dealing with a lot, so I hope that, you know, he can be still proud of himself for what he's done and looking forward to his success.
100%. Well said. A win now. Let's go on to Ben Shelton.
Which you actually watched a match first last night. Yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. And I did say I'm expecting Shelts to pull through.
You did. You did, actually.
And I was very happy to see that he did that, or he managed to. Because that wouldn't have been easy as well, sleeping on that in terms of knowing that you're basically a set away from going out for, well, a Grand Slam. But yeah, credit to him because...
Boy.
He turned it on.
He really did.
The 14th seed. So yeah, he ended up winning the fourth and... Well, he ended up winning the fourth set 6-3 and then the decider 6-4.
Mm-hmm.
And that was obviously against the qualifier, Matteo Bellucci.
Yep.
You watched most of it, Lucy.
I'm not gonna lie, yeah. I am so glad, so glad that I watched that match. And I think because you watched it yesterday, I didn't plan to watch it today. But obviously, you really wanted to watch Jubb and stuff, so I was like, okay, let me go watch Shelton because that match was during also there was three matches on because it was during Giovanni, which I started with.
But Giovanni was first on with Jubb.
But Giovanni, which we'll speak more about later on, I knew exactly how that match was going to go because of their playing style.
Okay, which ended up that way.
So I was like, let me just go to Shelton. And when I got there, that's when it was really like buzzing. Mm. Shelton was like ahead, you know, he literally just broke and it was getting like really intense to a point where There was a little bit of tension, you know, between the two. But it's weird. It was like the tension was there, but it was like, I think they were just so locked in the game that I don't think they realized how from the outside it looked like, damn, like it's going to be really serious. I mean, I was even speaking to one journalist. She even said, like, I actually thought the handshake at the end would be like really salty because of that's how much tension there
People
was.
Always love focusing on the handshake, man. Like it's not that deep.
You think for me, I think it set the tone. Yeah, okay. I take it seriously. It says a lot. Like, I look at it.
Okay.
I don't close my window till I see that handshake. I don't switch off that TV till I see that handshake.
For the handshake.
Literally. God. But
he was wearing the tape, wasn't
he? Was wearing the tape.
The white knee.
Yeah.
Did he speak about that in person? No one mentioned
To be fair, no one really mentioned it. Yeah, I didn't think about
it. He was moving fine.
He was moving fine. Yeah. He was moving fine.
He did slip, actually. I want to say a few times. There was a slip I definitely
yeah,
saw.
But there was one, the last slip that he had, I was even scared. But it was good. It was fine. Yeah. But like Bellucci, I'm not going to lie. Like that match was, to me, match of the day. It was like super entertaining. Bellucci was hitting really hard as well. It was like really, really strong. Same like literally with like Shelton. The tension thing, I remember there was the moment where I knew, okay, this match is going to be mad, was when like, I think Bellucci must have hit a winner and then he took his racket and he just like pointed like, he pointed at Shelton's name on the scoreboard. Like it wasn't like he didn't tap it or anything. He just like, it was like, you are my target type of thing. And
crazy
Shelton,
Italian energy.
Literally. And then Shelton did like another big serve. When Shelton was coming towards like, when he was picking up his towel that was towards the box, you could literally feel like the tension
in front of Bellucci's box.
Yeah, in front of Bellucci's box stuff. And like he didn't feel intimidated. Like you could tell, like he was like, yo, you're this is my court.
Listen, he's about that.
Like this is my court. There was one time where they were like, Bellucci was about to serve and then they were looking at each other and even Shelton put his hands up like, bro, like play, like, you know. But
do you remember what I said though in the pre-Wimbledon pod? I said, yeah, this guy is a nuisance, like, mm-hmm. because it was the same kind of energy he was giving Tiafoe, like,
yeah,
just annoying energy,
yeah exactly,
irritating. But mm-hmm. again, that's just obviously that's his personality.
Yeah.
And he's well within his rights to kind of act the way he acts.
And he definitely cracked Bellucci. But it's funny because Bellucci's camp was going crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And the media section was there. So I was surrounded by the Italians. Shout out to the Italians, man. They didn't give a heck. They were there having fun, shouting and everything. But I loved it, even though, you know, obviously I was there for Shelton. But yeah, but like you could see that it got to him. Like Bellucci really wanted it bad, man. Yeah, like I actually felt for him. Like he wanted it really bad. Like at one point, I won't say he looked like he was crying, but you could tell like it really, you know, like got to him. But, you know, Shelton did his thing. He just kept on breaking. It was just like one winner after one winner. And then like, they were just really strong players.
Yeah.
I did ask him about the tension thing. And basically ask him, like, if he felt like, you know, that helped him with his game and so on. And this is what he said.
Yeah, I think that, you know, whenever you're in a tight four-setter, five-setter at a slam, sometimes you have to will yourself over the line. I thought that, you know, he was doing a great job. He was pretty loud the whole match, getting pumped up, his box as well. And I think that sometimes you have to show that you're not gonna, you know, back down and bring it, and that's something that I'm used to in my life and in tennis career. I've been in a lot tougher environments than out here on the ATP tour, so I think it was good and competitive, and both of us wanted it bad, but mm-hmm. I didn't feel any malintentions from either side.
But I think it's very interesting how he actually said that he didn't even know the whole type of thing. Like he didn't even know it was like even like that as well.
Because he's so that like the players are so locked in.
They're so locked in.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. And I feel like I don't think they even realize it from the outside what it looked like for us. But court 18 was going crazy. The queue was literally all around.
Yeah.
Listen, hey, Wimbledon, put Shelton in these big courts, man. He brings in the people. And a lot of Americans come to Wimbledon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A lot of Americans. Yeah. In fact, a lot of the black people that I see here are actually African-Americans.
Really?
I always hear the accent. I feel like I see more of the African-Americans here than actually black Brits in Wimbledon, which is quite crazy. UK black Brits, come on. Sign up to the banner, come through. But yeah, even impressed, he also spoke about like how he's still adapting to grass. He's like talking about how, like, you know, he's learning to slide on the surface. Apparently he did say that you know, he does get in trouble with his dad if he does do that, like, you know, because his dad is worried and stuff, because obviously he's super unsafe.
Yeah.
But Shelton did say that he thinks that his dad is still thinking when he was playing, and apparently them times the grass surfaces were like different. It was completely different. Animal. It's like you really can't. If you do, you're messed up.
That's such good insight. I love that.
Yeah. So yeah, but he said like, you know, he just needs to keep on playing like, you know, a couple matches and stuff. He was also asked about like what he likes to do when he's in London and stuff and everything. He's like, listen, we're Wimbledon. He said this year he's even at Wimbledon Village. It's more quiet, so he's just focusing on Wimbledon. He's not trying to, you know, like last year he went to like the sea. He said he only went to the pub to watch one of the England matches,
cool.
Which is pretty cool. But he seems as, pretty
as in
locked
this,
in
as in this year.
Yeah, this or, year. Okay, yeah, he said cool. That's the only like fun thing. But he's like, no, like I'm really locked in into like Wimbledon like this year.
So watch out for Ben Shelton in
watch
that
draw. Watch out for Ben. I feel like
damn.
Now that he's secured such match against Bellucci, he's good. And honestly, he's clear.
He's got Lloyd Harris, the qualifier next from South Africa.
Yeah, come on.
And this is going to be a potential popcorn match in the third round. Then there's Shapovalov. But Shapovalov has to beat Daniel Altmaier in his second round match. But that could be entertaining.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, but honestly, yeah, shout out to Shelton. For me, again, match of the day. Really, really enjoyed it.
Good to see you, man. And I'm glad my prediction was correct.
Yeah, shout out to you for that.
Our next guy, Giovanni Pecci Perricard.
Yep.
What a win. The French lucky loser who we were very happy to see in the main draw.
Mm-hmm.
Came through in five sets against the 20th seed, Sebastian Corda. I'm going to read out the score. So 7-6, 6-7, 7-6, 6-7, 3-6. 6-3.
Yeah,
that is
6-3, yeah.
3-6, my bad. But yeah, Lucy, you alluded to it earlier. Basically, you called how the match would go.
Literally.
And it literally played out that way. What, four tie breaks?
I saw them first serves going up. And I told Eugene, I was like, bro, every set is going to be a tie break. I was like, I can't do this like right now.
Because to be honest, I have watched a lot of Sebastian Corda, but I'm not. Did I see him as a big server? I did see he had a solid serve, but. Yeah, I don't know if I saw him as like a massive server.
To be fair, I'm not going to lie, I didn't know much. I didn't think that I felt the same as you. I personally think him and his camp knew we need to level up, especially playing against someone like Giovanni. But I think he probably always had it in him, hence why.
Because he's quite big as well, Corda. Like he's a big boy.
Yeah, But I think he always knew he had the potential, hence why he's literally said, like, you know, he feels like, I think a year ago or 2 years ago, he said that he thinks that he was one of the favourites for Wimbledon and everything.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah, Queens.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, since then, he's not been looking really good, but I feel like for him to say that means he feels he has that potential. If he didn't play against a player like Giovanni, he probably could have won that first round.
Corda's 6'5", so he's big.
Yeah, he is. But aside from that, the match was literally that. Like, it was just
tiebreak slugfest.
Yeah, basically that's what it was. At one point, I think even the serves he had, I think one of them had 92% serves first serves points win, and the other had 93. Like at one point of the match, like it was ridiculous. But one thing that Giovanni had way ahead Corda was the winners. The winners was just like incredible, unless it changed at the end. 93 winners and 93 versus 52.
For me, it's the aces.
Ladies and gentlemen, Giovanni Pecci Perricard had 51 aces, the highest right now of the entire
he's leading that leader
tournament. Let me tell you guys right now, yeah.
After day two. But to be honest though, like considering it was a five setter and all the tie breaks in those sets, like that isn't that surprising. But it's still a crazy number.
Yeah. But honestly, he did say that this win was his biggest victory of this year, which is crazy because he did win a title.
Of course, Leon.
So for him to be saying that is great.
It's a grand slam, man.
But he did, you know, someone also even asked him like if he was feeling nervous, and he literally said, not at all. I loved I love his confidence. Like, you could literally feel it. Like, he was just like, not at all. And even the journalist was like, why are you not nervous? He was like, listen, this is like one of the biggest thing like ever. It's just like, it's here. I'm here to take it. He was skeptical about like knowing if he was actually going to play or not, because he was like a lucky loser, exactly, and he was like third, you know. We thought he was going to be like the first one, hence why I was, you know.
But it's done. It's done by like a draw, like draw. So it's the top four go into like a hat, and then
right. Yeah, they get picked out. Okay. Cool. Yeah. So he said Saturday he got a call, and then you know was ready to like
love that for
to
him.
Just like go and
There's a lot of buzz around his name.
Yeah, there is. There is. Yeah, and I even asked him as well, like, how did he like feel about playing on grass? Because you know, he's a clay guy. Well, his best performances are titles and stuff, like he's on clay, and how today, he felt about going into grass, and also if he feels like the extra pressure when playing on actual bigger tournaments, because he also plays a lot of challenges, and this is what he had to say.
Yeah, it was difficult when I started the grass this year, but I managed to find some keys to play better, and I'm feeling better than the beginning and more confident.
And also, you play quite a few challenges, but then when you get into the actual tours or Grand Slams, do you feel a lot more pressure?
Yeah, of course, of course. There is a lot of people who's watching you. There is more money, more expectation, and more everything. So, yes, you want to play very good, win matches. You can feel the pressure, but you have to deal with that. It's difficult at the beginning, but with more Grand Slam you're gonna play, more you're gonna be confident.
Honestly, it was great. I even made a tweet about
love that,
because I stayed for the French. Obviously,
bilingual Lucy.
I understand French and stuff, so it's cool that I can actually sit down. It's not you understand. Down.
You speak French.
I mean, I speak French. Yeah, whatever. But. I stayed over, and one of the questions that one of the answers from his that I really liked was how, you know, journalists asked him like, you know, like, hey, who do you think you have like a similar serve to, like in terms of like players and everything? Like the journalists were trying to get him to mention a player.
Yeah.
And Giovanni was just like, there's no one.
Oh, hell no.
There's none at
he
all.
He said, oh, hell like, no.
I am playing my game. I am Giovanni Mepesci, and this is my serve and stuff. You know, I don't play like John Isner. I'm not doing like Del Potro, and I'm doing my own thing and focusing like on me. I'm not watching the others, which I respect a lot. Again, goes back to what I was saying earlier. Like, he has a massive, great confidence. I'm really happy for him. I mean, I was saying it from Queens. I was like, yeah, this guy's going to go far in grass. I'm really good at these type of predictions. I'm just going to give myself a pat on the back. A lot of times when I say players are going to go, you know.
The arrogance of Lucy, you know, right now. Crazy.
You know, I mean, it's not really arrogant. It's just me being, you know, journalist, you know. That's it. I'm keeping an eye.
I like that. Becci Perricard, he has Yoshihito Nishioka next.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good match. Like little and large, because Nishioka is one of the shortest players on the tour, and obviously
really shout out to all the short people out there. Five like for one and a half here. Sorry.
One of the giants, so that should be a good match, and mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just fantastic to see Perricard like make the most of this lucky loser opportunity, man.
For sure,
and he will be in the main draw mm-hmm. come US Open time because he's a top 100 player. Mm-hmm. So we'll be seeing a lot more of the young Frenchman this season, and yeah, we look forward to that. Another young Frenchman, Arthur Fils,
mm-hmm.
Got a good win against Dominic Strikov. It was a four-set win, but it kind of did feel like a three-setter because he was pretty comfortable throughout. And again, shouts out to Lucy who provided the picture for our post.
Give him my credit now. Yeah, that's it. Guys, he posted a thing. He gives credit to everyone. He didn't give me credit. I was like, raw, that's kind of mad still. Like, I took some really nice pictures. And I really take that thing seriously. I'm like, you know,
you're a very good photographer.
Yeah, yeah. Watch out, tennis photographers. Nice. I'm coming soon.
But Fils won in four sets. And that was against, like you said, Dominic Stricker, this young Swissman. Yeah, Swiss, young Swiss. Yeah, I think that's how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, with Feast, I think you said he, massive improvement from last year because he played for Keener.
For Keith. See, I'm doing it again.
Oh, God. It was for Keith.
I even messed up the name. Just how you... Keys. Guys, it's so home time for me. But anyway, it's gone. Sorry.
Arthur Fies played Alejandro Davidic Fekina last year at Wimbledon. And I think he played in the year before too.
No.
I want to say he played in back-to-back years, first round and lost.
I checked.
Oh, really?
I think last year was his first time. Maybe the year before was qualifying.
Oh, okay. Okay, that rings a bell.
Yeah, I think the year before was qualifying.
That rings a bell.
Last year was first round. This year he's gone into like the second round because Arthur actually doesn't do that well when it comes to Grand Slams, which was even something that was mentioned, you know.
I mean, he's only had... Yeah, you're right.
See?
Yeah, yeah.
First, second.
No, but Lucy, look, he's played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Five
Grand Slams his whole career.
This is
his sixth.
Yeah, fair enough. So, yeah, no, 100%.
Like, he's a young boy. Like,
definitely. But but no, it was a really good match. Because I watched his first match last year and the difference in this year was incredible.
He's a better player,
like,
really.
He worked a lot on the serves. There was way fewer errors than last year as well. He just looked really comfortable, like, on grass. He even said in the press, like, you know, like, regarding the surface, he's like, he feels like he's the type of player that can actually be great at all three surfaces. Like, it's not a thing of just hardcore thing.
I see that, because he's a great athlete.
He's like, I feel like I can move really well in all three of them. Like, he's not that worried. He thinks he just needs to, just like Giovanni was saying, just needs to play more matches and that's it. Because that's the thing, he was like, I feel like I haven't had enough of the grass matches, which is why, you know, he probably went to the other tournaments. And we already mentioned he did pretty well. He was ready for that. He made it to the quarters
in Halle. Exactly.
And he lost to a big player. It's not like he lost one small player.
And he won that set again. He won the first set against Zverev.
Exactly. So he still won a set anyway. So, yeah, no, honestly, really happy for him. Although his next round is another big player.
Seventh seed. And we did, again, we spoke about this in the pre-Wimbledon pod, how we said basically, Fies is a top 40 player, like knocking on the door, being a top 30 player.
Mm-hmm.
So he just missed out on the seedings. Hence why now in the second round of Wimbledon, he gets the seventh seed, Hubert Hurkacz, which is a crazy draw.
Yeah. And he did say, like, you know, he needed to make sure that he leveled up to be ready for that match.
Yeah.
And I asked him, like, what do you think that, you know, like, you need to keep on doing to help to, you know, win that match? And he said mainly, like, the return winners, because he serves like crazy and stuff.
Yeah. It's a shame we can't add what he actually said in English, because Lucy asked the question in English, but Fies gave the answer back in French.
Okay, so to my defense, because Eugene is sticking it on me, my defense, guys, last year when I interviewed Fies, right, he, at that time, his English, like, his English wasn't bad, but it wasn't as
good,
no, it has improved, because even when I asked Tumani, he was like, no, he has improved a lot, and he felt more comfortable answering in French. Maybe he wasn't that motivated because he lost.
Yeah, true.
That
true.
As well.
Yeah.
But hence why I thought it was like he'd do the same again this year. But he when I heard him speak English, I was like, wow. I mean, I was forced by the French journalist and even him to start in French. Then I got a bit nervous.
She fumbled.
Okay, guys. No. That's not what happened. I started.
She was serving, then she fumbled.
I started. Eugene, you speak French then. You speak French then. No, I'm joking. No. But guys, no, this is what happened. Yeah. This is what happened, right? Hear me out. So I started in French and Arthur even looked like wrong. Damn. Like, damn, like, okay. But then the problem is that my brain was like so fried and I said the wrong opponent from last year, which I just did literally 2 minutes ago. I was meant to say Fekina and I said Korda, and that even the journalist was like, they were trying to correct me, like, no, it was looking at, I was like, oh yeah, and then literally I was like, nah guys, sorry, I can't go back to French, I'm going back to English. But next time there won't be that anyway, because I'm gonna ask him in English so we can include it, but at least he knows. Shout out to Arthur Fies, looking forward to his next match. I will be there. And yeah.
And just on his next match, like, don't get it twisted. Like, Hurkacz, he's sweating because Feast is a young up and coming player. Like, everyone's kind of aware of his talents, and like, he's kind of been, he's had some big wins already. Beat Casper Ruud, obviously that was on clay. Ruud's a clay court player. Took Zverev to three sets in Halle, like we just said. He's had moments. So I think for Hurkacz, he's definitely not looking at that match and thinking, oh yeah, I'm gonna like steamroll that match. Like he's I don't want to say scared, but he knows that's a threat. That's a potential slippy one for him.
Yeah.
So yeah, good luck to Feast in that. Moving over to the women now, actually. Robin Montgomery. She got the biggest win of her career, you could say, I think. In terms of Grand Slams.
I mean, hey, if winning your first major match is big, especially at one of the finest Grand Slams.
I'd say so, coming through qualifying as well.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So yeah, she beat fellow qualifier Olivia Gadecki 6-4, 6-4. Again, looked pretty comfortable, I thought, like throughout that match.
She really did.
There were like a few breaks or exchange of breaks in the first set. But yeah, Montgomery's game, man, like she's very impressive.
Yeah.
And like speaking to people like around the grounds as well, like everyone kind of says the same thing about her. Like she's so like
that's true.
Like her build, like she's basically like
very strong.
Built, exactly. Mm-hmm. And she's still 19. Mm-hmm, so yeah, there's still a lot, there's still growth there to be made.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a scary prospect because yeah, she's got a lot of tools already and like some big weapons. You were at the match.
I was.
What did you make of Montgomery?
Yeah, honestly, it was really good. Like, her serves were, like, really great. I think initially she definitely had more serve, first serve points won than her opponent. It's just that, unfortunately, towards the end, she, it was getting a little bit tricky, like, when she was trying to, like, close the match and everything.
Yeah.
But she was hitting, like, winners. She was really doing like well. She was moving really. She was very confident as well. And to be fair, even that last game, because she was literally like, she was leading, I think 4-1 or 4-2, something like that. Then at the end, it ended up at like 5-4.
Oh, really?
But then it got to like deuce, and she was kind of struggling for a while to like close the match.
Okay.
And I actually did. Ask her about that, and here's what she said.
I mean, she obviously was starting to play a little bit more free and hitting some shots that there was nothing I could really do about it. Even though I threw in a double fault, I still trusted my serve and know that the grass is also going to do its job if I make my serve. But luckily, the past couple weeks, I've actually had very tough service games closing out matches, so honestly, I kind of felt pretty comfortable. I like trusted myself, honestly, and trying to take it point by point. And even when she had the break point, I still felt like it's going to go back to deuce. So just mainly focus on point by point and focusing on just my serve, because I know once I get the ball in play, then I should be fine.
Yeah, she luckily still closed that match. Shout out to Montgomery again. I've been saying it for a very long time, like her game on grass is just amazing. I really wish like everyone could hear the things that we were talking about during her press. Honestly, she was speaking really freely and it was such a nice discussion. You got to know her like a lot more as well. So she was talking even about like her mom and how she's like really thankful for her and how her mom was actually the one who got her into her tennis, especially as a single mother. So shout out to all the single mothers out there. Unfortunately, her mom couldn't come because of work.
Wow.
And it's funny because one of the journalists...
I mean, that soon changed.
Literally. But one of the journalists was even like, I'm pretty sure she could have, you know, say like, yo, my daughter is at Wimbledon. Like, come on, allow me or something. But yeah, but like she was also even talking about like coaches because maybe I shouldn't say this as a journalist, but I personally did not know like she didn't really have like a full time on coach.
Okay.
So apparently she had the same coach from like since she was like 8 to like 18 or something dumb like that, like something like pre very, very, very long.
Okay.
So right now she's just like kind of like part-time with like two other people, like from like the US, through the USTA, anyways. Yeah. And she did say that she is trying to look for like she's hoping to find like a full-time thing, but she just wanted to make sure it's the right decision and everything. A little bit like what Tiafoe said yesterday during his press. I mean, she even said, like, her mom even said that, why don't you write down, like, a list of, like, what, you know, what you want.
She's going to have, a list of coaches, like, knocking on her door.
100%. I wanted to say that to her. I wanted to say, like, boy, I'm pretty sure there are actually quite a few right now that are, like, you know, looking at you and stuff. But, yeah, honestly, there's so much to take from that conference. It was super engaging.
Love that.
You know, but, yeah, she said that she's really focused, really happy that she's, like, going through. Obviously, she has a very tough opponent next.
Temp seed, last year's runner-up on
two-time Grand Slam, well, Wimbledon finalist.
Ons Jabeur.
She's 3 times Grand Slam finalist, isn't she? Yeah, US Open. As well, yeah, exactly. And Fingy and yeah. She was asked about that as well, like how she felt about going into that match. And she did say that, you know, she's just taking it in. Like, she's just like, you know what? It's just like the next match.
Temp seed.
You know, but she has, luckily she has experience of playing against like the big
true
players, you know, yeah. Sabalenka and everything. Mm. So yeah, she said she's pretty excited actually. Like, she feels like, you know, these are the type of things that matter. And these are big moments as well.
I'm going to call it. She's going to beat Jabeur. Yeah, I've said that. And I'm not going back.
I rate it. I'm not mad at it.
Thank you.
Not mad at it. Shout out to Robin.
Shouts out to Robin.
And we will be looking forward for that match. I'm going to be there front row. For sure, for sure.
Let's go to another American now. Alicia Parks, who unfortunately fell to Caroline Wozniacki in straight sets. And that was a 2-6, love 6, or 6-2, 6-love defeat for Parks. Wasn't the best match for the American qualifier, unfortunately. She hit 33 unforced errors. So, yeah, I mean, that's not... those numbers kind of tell the story, I guess. Like, it's not a good day. Don't really know what else to say, really. I mean,
You watched the match.
Yeah,
did you...
but not in person. I was watching on our screen at the desk. I think maybe she was like maybe overhitting, if that makes sense. Like, because we all know Parks is a powerful player. Like, she's a big hitter, like naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like she was maybe trying to go for too much, even against like Wozniacki, who we all know Wozniacki's a Grand Slam champ. Like, solid player, just gets the ball back.
Yeah.
And that's not to be like dismissive of her talents.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But yeah, you kind of know what you're going to get with Wozniacki. Like, she's just, going to get the ball back in play most of the time, both wings, pretty solid.
Which is why, personally, like I said on the Wimbledon preview pod, that's why I was a bit like scared. I was just
you said the experience,
that,
basically.
Yeah, basically, yeah. She's not really a threat now, but...
I think she said this is... I think Wozniacki said, because I was listening to her press conference after, she said this is her, her first Wimbledon in 5 years or 6 years, because don't forget she came back.
Yeah.
So, it's not first Wimbledon, first match on grass.
Okay.
In like 5 or 6 years. So, good effort on her. Like, but again, it's not a real surprise. Like, we know she's a talent.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, getting back to Parks, I think she'll be disappointed because this was an opportunity. But yeah, now she just has to focus on the doubles and that gets underway on day 3. So she's playing with Hayley Baptiste. So good luck to both of them.
For sure.
Don't know if you have anything to say on Parks.
No, I'm just... either way, like, listen, she's still got some stuff for grass, you know. She got a title.
Came through qualifying.
You know, she came through qualifying. She was like on a nice winning streak as well. It could have been worse, especially that the season didn't start as great. So, yeah.
Like, I don't think this undoes any of the work, like you said, that she's done coming in. So, yeah, hopefully she continues to build on that. let's go Felix. So this match has been suspended. So he's playing Tanasi Kokkinakis. And the score is currently 6-4, 7-5, 6-7, 1-all in the fourth. So yeah, that's Francis leading. I said he's going to be kicking himself because he had a match point or two in that third set tiebreak, where he was actually love five down, which is crazy. But yeah, he pulled back, but was unable to close or unable to basically bag that tiebreak and bag the match. So yeah, that will continue on day three. Elias Sinner to end. So yeah, he took the British number one, Jack Draper, to five sets on center court.
Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, the Swede won the opening set. And then, yeah, Jack came back. I think he won the next two. So it was two sets to one. And then Immer took it to a fifth by winning the fourth set. The roof closed. And he even said that had an effect on the match. I'm annoyed that I wasn't able to actually be like in the stadium because so much is going on like around the time that they were playing. But always had my eye like on it. I think you did go.
I did.
At one point.
Yeah, I watched a lot. Like? Oh, it was buzzing. To be fair, Immer actually had quite a few people cheering for him, which I was really surprised because you know center court number one Brit. But I think it's mainly because this is what happens when, I mean, you know, Wimbledon is full of also, it's not just proper tennis fans. It's also fans that people that just like tennis just come for
just
vibes.
Here for the occasion.
Yeah. So, you know, I think the good thing about that is that you have then people who are not that aware that will cheer for the underdog. Yeah, like, oh, shoot. Because Immer was playing really well. I'm pretty sure everyone going to that match was saying, yeah, straight sets for Draper. I expected straight sets from Draper, but more of like, it will be tough. Yeah, like, it'll be like probably two tie breaks or something like that. I swear to you, I did not expect five sets. I really did not. But then again, but I knew it was going to be one thing I knew for sure, it was going to be a good match.
Yeah,
I didn't think it would be like a thing where Draper's like, you know,
just cruising.
Through. No. I knew Immer was going to give his all. And I feel like sometimes when you're not that big player, you don't take these moments for granted because although he lost, he can easily say, I have played center court at Wimbledon. Not a lot of people can say that.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get what I mean? And that's it. And he gave his all and even more, which was great to see. And shout out to Draper. Personally, I was really surprised. I didn't know about his game like that. I wasn't familiar with your game.
Really?
You know, I don't watch.
Draper's a ball. He can ball.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, this is Blackspin, baby. That's what I know. So shout out to Draper. Like, I didn't know he was that explosive, basically.
Yeah, no, he's a good player.
I didn't know. So well deserved. He definitely deserved that number one ranking. UK ranking and stuff. So yeah, it was a great match. The atmosphere was great. It was loud as hell when Draper was winning shots, obviously, but it wasn't a thing where it was quiet for Immer. I think people were enjoying the match. It was a great match overall.
Fair play.
So shout out to both of them.
Immer did speak about like, basically playing on center court as well. And he just said he enjoyed the experience, but was obviously disappointed like during his press conference. But yeah, here's what he said.
Yeah, it was my first time, as you said, and I anticipated it very well before the match. I was very happy and eager to go out on the center court because it's something all the tennis players dream of. And I got off a very good start. I was playing very good in the first set. And second and third set is where I feel a bit, I have to speak with my coach a bit, like I think the third set especially, I had my chances. I let go of them. And fourth set, it was up and down. We both wasn't playing so well. And I got the early break at 4-all. And then I think actually the roof, it changed the match situation a bit. Because his serve started to become, I was reading his serve very well. But at the fifth set, I couldn't, it was more difficult.
He gave it was a brief answer, but pretty detailed. I found it quite telling when he said that when the roof closed, like, yeah, the match kind of changed.
And it's funny, I actually thought that it will help him.
Really?
Because I feel like, because he's better at hardcore.
Emma?
And I feel like once the roofs are closed, that's like, no matter what the surface is, well, in whether it's clay or grass, I feel like when it's closed, if you like hardcore, it's easier for you to like breeze through and stuff. But then again, if you're not used to it, you know, like you're playing hours court open and everything, because even the way it's different. Once that court is closed, it's crazy, that difference. So I'm not too surprised that he's saying that. But I just went into thinking like, oh, court closed, yeah, this is going to help Emma, but I guess I was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think he said basically he was surprised that Draper started to serve bigger. So to kind of go back to what you were saying, like, I think when the roofs closed, like, if anything, yeah, the courts, I don't know if they play slower, like, I don't know. But yeah, I think it was just interesting that he picked up on that.
Yeah. I think also the vibe there as well, because you hear the crowd.
Oh, yeah, definitely the sound changes. So 100%.
Loud. It's too loud. So, you know, you can tell that Draper was feeling it. Like, his confidence, like, went up like crazy. Yeah. So, yeah.
But no, good one for Yemen. And Emma, sure. So like you said, he came through qualifying. So, yeah, got some good wins.
Listen, qualifying. Played at Centre Court,
exactly,
and got a big fat check. Can't go wrong. Sorry.
Some nice things checked off the checklist there.
Yep.
So yeah, that wraps up day two, Lucy.
Mm.
Day three now. Where are we going? Or how are we looking even? It's looking pretty packed.
Looking packed.
So I've got the order of play before it changed. So hopefully this is still kind of correct.
Yeah.
So I've got
guys, Eugene did want to check and I told him, I told him, please, I want to go home and sleep.
Oh, I was going to say.
So if it's not correct, guys, blame please Lucy. Put it all on me and not on Eugene Allen. So let's go.
Appreciate that. So TFO, he takes on Borna Coric. Obviously, that's the second round. That's first on court 18.
Mm-hmm.
Got Eubanks getting his Wimbledon underway. So he was meant to play today. On day two,
yep.
But that got cancelled and moved to day three. So that's Quanton Ellis on first on court 11. So that's a nice early start for us. We've also got Stevens, Diana Schneider, second on court 16. Osaka against the 19th seed Emma Navarro, second on centre court. Goff, the world number two, she has Anka Tandoni, and that's first on number one. Probably changed. Felix. He carries on against Kokkinakis, and that's second on court two. Paolini, Greek Minin, third on court two. Paolini also starts a doubles campaign as well with Sarawani. They're the fifth seeds, so look out for that. Lomomph. He plays Stanislas Stanimal, and that's fourth on court two. Keys. Why have I got Keys versus Madison Keys?
I just realised myself.
That's not right. Someone's tired.
Yeah, we are all are. But while Eugene is double checking that, we also have Shelton and Lloyd Harris. Obviously, his match, although he did play today,
he's going back to back
because that match was supposed to finish Monday.
Key, she has Wang Yefang of China, and that's fourth on court two. So some pretty big matches there on some pretty big courts as well. Center number one, court two is obviously a big court as well. So interesting day in prospect, Lucy.
For sure,
we look forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, guys, we appreciate you all as always for listening and tuning in.
Yep.
And
as usual, stay also on social. We are tweeting a lot there.
We are. I tried to be a bit more active today. I don't know if you guys noticed, but yeah, Lucy's like killing it as always. But
yeah, with my crappy data that I have,
you do well.
We're trying out here.
So
but
we appreciate you.
Thank you very much. We will see you guys tomorrow for day three. Hopefully I will have more energy by the grace of God. Please send all your energy through. If you're on the grounds, please feel free to buy me some coffee. I like cappuccino with oat milk. I also like an Americano. And we'll catch you.
To be fair, shouts out. I forgot his name. My bad. But we have a listener who works. He's working in the IBM offices doing the stats.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he came and said hi earlier, which is a nice moment.
Oh, shout out to you. Thank you very much.
I forgot your name. My bad, bro. But yeah, it was a really nice moment. So appreciate you coming over and showing love. So, and shouts out to you as well for working this fortnight. But yeah, guys, thanks for tuning in. And yeah, like Lucy said, we look forward to tapping in again tomorrow. Take care.